Hey, everybody. It's the Golf Guys. Gunning and McKee back for a little Open Championship recap. Shocker, shocker, Scottie Scheffler won. It was a golf tournament after all, Sammy. How's it going, bud?
Doing well. I just want to thank our beloved listeners in Lacombe, Alberta, for giving us our most listened to episode of all time. You guys really care about our show, but mostly just hearing your name. So thanks to you guys. And yeah, I enjoyed the golf this weekend. It obviously wasn't the most drama-filled event, I wouldn't say. I think it was, what do you think, maybe 9 or 10. Whenever Scotty made the eagle on Saturday, I think everybody kind of knew. It's like, well, this baby's over. But I will say that it was a joy to watch a true all-time great at the peak of his powers work his way around Royal Portrush. And boy, did he make it look easy this weekend, Gunnar.
Yeah, he did. We won't talk about many other guys, so let me quickly give a few some flowers here. How would you like to be Harris English going 5-under in your final round of a major? Oh, to never sniff it, coming up 4 shots short and solo second. How would you like to be Oakmont Destroyer, Wyndham Clark, going 6-under to get himself to 11-under? It never sniffed it. Your man, Bryson, going nuclear, 7-under on the final day of the tournament, and he did the Rory. It was like, yeah, congrats. That's going to look great on the Wikipedia page one day, but never really in the mix. There were so many guys that played so good on Sunday, and it did not matter. Not even for a millisecond, McKee.
Yeah, like it would have been like an alternate field, no Scotty. It would have been an electric tournament finish, right? Because there were so many guys. How long on the day on Sunday afternoon was 10-under? There was like 5 guys tied at 10-under, right, while Scotty was running away with it. It really would have been a compelling finish. Another great showing from Chris Goddard, who seems to love the Lynx golf, and it's kind of propelled himself into the Ryder Cup conversation, which we'll have a little bit later. But yeah, it's just, you know, it's got to be hard, and like all these guys are talking about it. Spieth is talking about it. Rory was giving him his full flowers. Like, Rory's to blame, isn't he? He told him about the putter, and it's like now it's like now he can't stop hitting putts. Like, it's just, if he's gonna hit putts, it is not a fair fight, and he was hitting every putt on Saturday and Sunday afternoon, thus making it not a fair fight. But man, what an incredible, incredible display of golf.
Yeah, it truly was. Shane Lowry had the line where if he swung it like Adam Scott, we'd talk about him like he was Tiger Woods. And man, that's like that's the place everyone
goes to. That's
interesting.
I didn't hear that.
Yeah, I mean, there is something about it, right? It's like, I had this conversation talking about it with Ben this morning on Fan Morning Show. The idea of, I do think this would feel a little different if it was, let's say it's your man, McKee. Let's say it was Bryson, the big golfer, running away with this. It would feel different because, well, I mean, just simply he drives the ball in a way only 3 other humans on Earth can. There's no one thing Scheffler does that is on a level that these other players can't get to. It's just he does it all the time. So I think that's what kind of leads to the lack of flowers. But there are other players. Like, again, like when Koepka was doing this, it's like, well, he's just mentally stronger and he makes all these other guys break. You know, with Rory, it's always a front runner. Once he gets that little bit of room, don't let him get going. With Scheffler, it just seems like it shouldn't be so unattainable, but obviously this level of greatness is.
I think it's just because he's boring as hell, Gunner.
Yeah.
I don't want to sugarcoat it. Like, it's not Tiger explosiveness. It's just middle of the fairway, middle of the green, pin high, and then 2 putts or 1 putt every single hole. Like, it's not like the most imaginative game. It's not the most insane game. It's just pure consistency, and he lets others kind of make the mistakes and let others kind of fall away from him, and he doesn't make mistakes. Except he made one mistake on Sunday afternoon where he got a little aggressive from the fairway bunker, bashes it off the face. I honestly just felt like he did that to feel something. Like, just to be like, I got to go for something here. And he ripped it, hits the face, gets it on, puts it in for, missed the putt for double, makes a double. But, like, he just makes a birdie the next hole. But it's just so consistent and so, like, for lack of a better term, Gunnar, it's dull, is it not? Like, it's just, and he's not the most exciting guy. All the reporters are trying to twist something out of him. And even when he wins the jug, he has his 2-putt moment on 18 where he puts it up there. He does his handshake with his new best friend, Hao Tung Lee, him and the caddies, and, like, he does his hug with Ted Scott or whatever. But, like, it's almost as though he had to force himself to go over to the, like, he does the big sally where he throws the hat, but, like, It's almost like he had to force himself to do that because of what he said earlier in the week. I don't know. He is truly one of one when it comes to his temperament and like his mental game. And that's what makes him so great, a huge part of it. It's just, I think a reason it's not resonating as much, it's just because he's boring as hell, buddy. He loves his family, he loves golf, and he loves God, and that's about it. Like, he can't wait to get back on the PGA and get back to Texas and get his feet up. Like, he does not really care about the pomp and circumstance at all.
No, the only other thing you left out of there is hooping. He also
he does
loves
like to hoop.
He does love hooping. But even that, it's like, from what I've seen, it's like pretty no bones about it. Pretty straight, a little north-south basketball, a little Craig Berube basketball, if you will, from Scotty there. No, that's the thing. And you're right. Like, even think about the great shots we've, and I'm not talking about just this week. Like, we can go through the whole Scotty run. It's like, there was a moment in his first Masters when him and Cam Smith are going out and he's in trouble there. And it's like, wow, he really has to clip this wedge perfectly. And he did. And honestly, from that moment on, it's like he's never looked back.
The chip in at three, right?
Right, yeah, exactly. Right. It's like, yeah, it's like he hit the pin. It's like, maybe if he didn't, it goes off the green. And you know, Lord knows what you're dealing with. But guess what? The Lord does know. And he knows the plan is for Scottie Scheffler to keep doing this. It's just, there are not the remarkable shots. Even they talk about, well, you know, he can hit it anyway. Yeah, and I know he can hit a draw if he needs to. But it's just like little cut around that whole place. Never seem to be an issue having to shape it the other way. He is boring, but I think that that's the thing about it, is it's just so consistently great. Tiger felt different, like somebody from a different planet. And the problem is, you know, I make this argument with LeBron to, you know, if Tiger is Jordan in this argument, it's like Scotty is the LeBron. It's like, we have something to compare it to, okay? The guys who were watching Tiger, it's like, yeah, they saw some of Jack. They didn't see the whole run going back to black and white TVs. And that's the difference, is we saw every second of Tiger, and now we've seen every second of Scotty. And when you just do the player-to-player comparison, it's like, Scotty Scheffler's incredible, but the run the Tiger was just so one of one. And it was the first one that we had actually got to see. That's why all of these feel a little diminished every time we feel like we're catching that lightning in the bottle.
100%. You mentioned the Tiger, the comparisons, and they're just they will not stop. They are just flowing in. But like, everybody wants to do the comparisons, and like, some of the stuff that's come out is insane. Like, you saw the Claire Rogers one. It's like, Tiger's first major win, 1997 yep. Masters. Tiger's fourth major win, 2000 Open. 1,197 days apart. Scotty's first major, 2022 Masters. Scotty's fourth majors, the 2025 Open. 1,197 days apart, Gunner. Like, what the hell is that? There was another one from Kyle Porter that I'm quickly looking up here. This is from Kyle Porter. This is Scotty's age 26 to 29 seasons and Tiger's 26 to 29 seasons. So 81 events for Scotty. 20 wins, 4 majors, 2 players, 2.8 stroke gain per round, okay? Tiger, okay, from 2002 to 2005, which is also his 26 to 29 seasons. 79 events, 18 wins, 4 majors, 0 players, 2.8 strokes gained per round. And those are all per Data Golf, which only includes 2004, 2005. So it's like, man, he is on, like, this is a Tiger-esque run. That doesn't include clearly the run before that Tiger went on. But if there's any sort of comparison that you can make between Tiger and Scotty, like, they are real. Like, that is a real run of 3 full seasons of one of the greatest runs in the history of the sport, flat out, and we are witnessing it.
If I could continue the wonderful segment we have, we should really get this sponsored by Kyle Porter, called Reading Kyle Porter's Tweets.
Oh, yeah.
Data Golf now has Scotty with, so again, Data Golf, they can like take all of the data, you know, strokes gained, tee to green, all that stuff, and kind of compile it into singular numbers. Data Golf now has Scotty with 4 of the best 20 seasons of the last 40 years. And I think this one puts it in perspective, because obviously Tiger has 8 of those, right? Like, yeah, that shouldn't be that surprising. Scotty has 4. Listen to the guys who are behind Scotty on this list. Vijay has 3. Rory has 2. Greg Norman has 1. Jordan Spieth has one and Nick Price has one. It's just the idea that the guys we've thought are like, you know, Brooks Koepka, it's like, ooh, he's the major winning guy. Is he in that mix? Rory, Lord knows he's flirted with that more than anybody else. Vijay, maybe like the great lost player of all time because it existed in the Tiger Halo. It's like, those guys didn't do what Scotty has done in terms of putting that number of seasons together. That is the part that just boggles my mind. Because we've done, oh, next Tiger, how many times? Totally understanding that it's never going to be that. Scotty has eclipsed what all of those guys thought they were doing. Like Rory, again, like I hand up. He's the guy I would say is the closest in terms of the length of time he's done it, the majors he's won. He has two of those seasons. Scheffler has already doubled what he's been able to do in that regard. It's nuts, nuts, nuts.
That's remarkable stuff. So, yeah, like, I think now that we're heading into the sort of the playoffs and heading into the Ryder Cup, like, are you looking forward to every Sunday morning being like, or Sunday afternoon or Saturday afternoon being like, I can't wait to watch how many more Scotty can stack up? Or is it just kind of at the point now where it's like majors for you? Because that's kind of how I feel out with him. Go ahead.
Yeah, I will say the individual, like, week in, week out doesn't have the same appeal of like, oh, man, I hope he can win the Byron Nelson. Like, yeah. It does not matter to me. But I will say, if Scotty is up now, one, somebody chasing him down, it adds, like, it's a win and a half is almost how that feels. Like, let's just say it's Xander Schauffele, and he's two shots back, and he goes and gets Scotty on a Sunday. I'm way more invested in that than I would be Xander Schauffele coming back on anybody else in a golf field. So I think there's something to that. And also, I will say, if we get to, you know, like Scotty going football scores on people, that intrigues me as well. Like once it gets to the point where it's like, no one's in this tournament, I do want to see how deep he can get it in comparison to the field. But just like, wow, another win for Scotty, and he's going to do it by three shots. No, that is like the least sexy thing that could happen on tour is Scotty Scheffler with a two or three shot win or something like that. What about you?
Fair enough. I actually am kind of at the point now where I love greatness. And I like, you know, I don't want to be this guy, but I was a Scotty fan before it was cool. Rookie year coming up here, I was like, I like this guy's game. I like this guy's swing. I'm kind of into this. I do like being in the presence of greatness, and like it's why I kind of root for everyone other than the Chiefs, basically. But I kind of rooted for like LeBron to be great, to get more. I like Tom Brady at the end of his career. I was really rooting for him to get more. Like, I want, you know, you want McDavid to win one because you want greatness. Like, I want the greatness, and I want to be able to say that I've witnessed this stuff, and it really feels like we are just kind of at the start of one of the great, great all-time runs for a professional golfer, and it doesn't feel like there's any end in sight. But, like, I don't know. Like, I just, you know, they've had flash in the pans, you know, Jordan Spieth, you know what he's like now, you know, Rory, how long it took him to win another major. He was still winning tournaments in there, you know, Koepka, all these guys have had flashes, but it just really does feel like this is much, much different than that. No.
Yeah, it does. I mean, I'll read a tweet from a different guy now, if that's okay with you.
Yes,
Justin Ray.
Oh yeah.
You know, to put it in perspective, that was the 10th consecutive time Scotty has had a lead through 54 holes and looking to lock it down. He was able to do it. That's 10. That's incredible.
10 for 10.
Tiger Woods did it 37 consecutive times.
37?
Until he was undone at the PGA Championship when, was it Wai Yang held the bag over his head?
That's insane.
So 37 times in a row. And again, that is why you or I, or I think anybody with their right mind, when people go, yeah, this is like Tiger, we like start hissing at them and reflexively going like, you're crazy. Nothing's like Tiger. And that's the level that Scotty is trying to climb here. But please, like, continue to do it. I do really wonder what happens eventually. I don't know. Maybe this is crazy talk by me. Eventually something will go wrong for him in one of these. Like, I know he was arrested. That was like pretty bad. That was not like the best thing that happened to him. But eventually there will be a collapse, or like a putt's going to lip out that should drop and he's going to lose a tournament. Potentially. what does that do to him? Like, Rory McIlroy looked like he'd never stop losing these things until he did. And then he could never get back in the winner's circle. And Koepka felt automatic until he didn't. That is what's next here. It's like, and I'm not saying it's going to happen the next time we see a major. It very well could not happen for a couple of years for this guy. But that'll be the thing. Eventually, the Lord will go, let's crank up the difficulty a little bit here and have a putt lip out. How does he react to that?
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. I guess I've said this in years past with other guys, but it just feels like we're about to see we're already seeing an all-time run, and it feels like, you know, where's the U.S. Open next year, Gunnar? Do you have that in front of you by any chance?
I believe Shinnecock.
Oh, yeah, that is right. Like, it really does feel like next year at Shinnecock, we're going to see the career Grand Slam completed.
Okay, well, I love to do this game with you, and then Scotty Scheffler made it a boring one. He sits at 4 majors now.
Uh-huh.
The career over-under is... If it's 6.5, is that too easy to take the over?
I was going to set it at I was going to say 6.5.
Yeah.
And I would probably lean over because it would probably, like, I think 7 maybe.
Yeah.
Right? Because he's got 4 right now, and you think he's going to get the U.S. Open at some point. He plays great at Augusta. Probably get one more of those, and then I don't know. Like, 7's a lot, though. Seven is a lot.
Phil Mickelson has 6. Yeah. Arnold Palmer has 6. Like, that's so many.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess we're really at the start of what it's going to be here, but it does feel like being like, yeah, he's a lock to have 7 major championships is a pretty crazy thing to say. But, you know, you're in the afterglow of where he just dominates at one of the more classic courses on earth, makes everybody look like they're, you know, half the man he is. So it's easy to say right now, but if I was going to set the over-under at 6.5, I would take the over. And if I was going to have it at 7.5, I would probably take the under to go to 7. 7's my number.
Yeah, if I'm setting it at 6.5, I'm taking the under because that's like, it's kind of my thing is to come on here and be the cooler and be like, no, time won't march on, actually, because it's just so hard to rip these things off. But if he gets one next year, it's like, that'd be foolish for me to say he's going to stop at one more after that. It's just, it is nuts. All right, one other thing I wanted to mention from the Open before we get into some Ryder Cup stuff, just shout out Corey Connors. Took him 5 birdies and 6 holes to get shown on my TV, including one of them being a chip in. But he picks up a top 10. He's the first Canadian male to notch 2 top 10s in majors in a single season since Weir in 06. You know, caveat, that's like getting out of bed for Brooke Henderson. She does it all the time. But man, that's awesome. Like, I think the Taylor win and Brooke being what she is and these guys always being in the mix, we're now almost at a place where we've like unzagged and we need to start back to appreciating Corey Connors being top 10 in a major. Like, he didn't win it, but that also is an incredible accomplishment to pick up 2 top 10s in a year for him.
Yeah, and the chip that he hit, if it didn't hit the flag, it probably was going to be off the back of the green. It was going at
still rolling.
It was going at mock speed, but it hits, it goes down. You're right. It wasn't, you know, we saw one other birdie putt. Maybe his birdie putt on 18 that he had was what the other shot that we saw. Like, when it's a clear winner, I don't want to get on, you know, griping about the coverage, but like, when there's going to be a clear winner, doesn't that free you up a little bit more to show more golf shots?
You'd think.
Right? Like, you show every Scotty shot clearly, but then you fly around. It's like, I know they love Rory. I know it's his home course or whatever. They're going to have to show Rory. But like, I have to see every single Rory chop when he's like hitting it over the back of the green. And, you know, I got to see every single one of those. Give me 4 Connor shots when he makes 5 birdies in 6 holes. Is that allowed? Like, can I have 4? Maybe 5 shots? A drive, maybe? Maybe an approach?
It's way too much to ask for, honestly.
You get an electric chip in and his birdie putt on 18, and you're going to be happy about it, Canada. Thanks.
Yeah, you better be happy with it, because if you're not, it's like they'll take away more somehow. The idea of Connors and them never showing it. I will say it did make me think about this quickly.
Mm.
We're in a post-Tiger world now, right? Like, he's been hurt. We didn't see him in any of the majors. I have made my peace with it. Like, I would never go as far as to be like, good, you stay out of here, old man. I would put it that way. But there's a big part of me, having watched a year of majors without him, for lack of a better term, gumming up the coverage, that I'm like, good, you stay away. Like, I hate that I've arrived at that place.
No, I'm there,
but
totally
I'd
there.
Way rather enjoy that than I would, like you said. It's like, and we now will watch Tiger wince going up 18.
Are we sure he's going to finish this round? Like, yeah, I'm good. I'm totally good with that. So
yeah, okay. I'm there with you as well. Okay, so that's it for the majors. We still have some big ones coming up though, including like Ye Olde Ryder Cup, which I just discovered this as we were like getting ready to do the show today. It's going to end on my birthday. Oh, Ryder Cup Sunday, Sunday singles. I'm watching Rory screaming at drunk Americans on my birthday on my couch. I can't wait. But it is at Bethpage Black this year. There is an automatic qualifier for the Americans. Can you guess who it is? He's already locked up his spot. Any guesses?
I would venture a guess that Mr. Scheffler has locked up his spot.
Yes, he would. He has a 3,000. He has over 3,200 points. The next closest person is 1,300 and change. That's Xander Schauffele.
No, 32,000.
Sorry. 32,000. The next closest has 13,000. It is just a mind-boggling gap between Scheffler and the field. Qualifiers as of now for the States: Scheffler, Schauffele, Spahn, Henley, Bryson DeChambeau, and Harris English. My question to you, McKee, is just, well, what the hell happened to the American President or Ryder Cup team here? That doesn't sound like the guys I would I'm used to like ripping off when I'm putting these teams together. There's a Russell Henley in there, a Harris English. Obviously, you got a major winner in J.J. Spahn, but man, this is not the team you close your eyes and think about.
Yeah, it is a little bit lighter than you expect to see, but then you just look at the normal names, and I have a hard time believing that, you know, Justin Thomas and Colin Morikawa, and even potentially, I mean, you have to go pretty far down the list to find Jordan Spieth. Like, I have a hard time believing that some of these guys won't be here, but it's also hard to know what Keegan Bradley's sort of thought process will be, because, you know, a part of what got Zach Johnson in trouble was the old boys club, and they didn't like necessarily like the team picks, and they got absolutely barbecued last time in Europe. So it'll be really like, this is always one of the more fascinating times in golf when all these guys are starting to sort of ramp it up. But like, you can make a conversation that Keegan Bradley is one of the better American players and he's going to be the captain. So I am a little bit surprised at this top six list. And I think pretty sure I saw Keegan Bradley say that Bryson is going to be on there no matter what. So you look at the top six for the Euro team, and I mean, it's kind of a lot of the same names, and they always just get it right when it comes to picks. And like, there's no real, it's just really easy for them. Doesn't it seem like that? Like, it's never a lot of whining, or they pick the right guys and they go and they do it. But the American team, especially in America, it just always feel like there's drama surrounding it. And I don't think that this one's going to be any different.
Yeah, you know what it is? It's because the Americans have like a group of, I don't know, you can make the argument if this is six guys, eight guys, nine guys that are going to be on the team. And then you're basically picking from 20 of the same dude. It's like, oh, I like Brian Harman. Oh, I thought Ben Griffin had a hot year. And it's like, okay, like, guess what? There's a right answer. You just don't know what it is. And it's like, depending on the pairings, depending on that, for the Europeans, it's like, this is the easiest game in the history of the world. They also have an automatic qualifier. Any guesses who that is, McKee?
For Europeans?
Yeah.
It's Mr. Rory McIlroy.
It is, followed by Big Shot Bob, Robert McIntyre, Tommy Fleetwood, Hatton, Lowry, Straka. And then the next guys are just all the guys you would pick. It's Erasmus Højgaard, Justin Rose, Ludvig, Hovland, Thomas Dietrich, Matt Wallace, Fitzpatrick. Like, guess what? They're not hurting feelings when they're like, yes, Matt Fitzpatrick is going to be on the European Ryder Cup team. Everyone understands that the guy who won a major 2 years ago gets to be on it. It always seems to just be so easy for them, and it just seems to be so hard for the Americans. And honestly, thank God it is, because that is the one thing keeping this event close. Like, if you just look on paper, there's no world where the Europeans should be competing, let alone winning like they have been. It's just that it's the infighting of the Americans. And quite honestly, like, I do love to watch it from afar.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's one of the great things about the Ryder Cup is the drama and the story and all the stuff that comes out after. And, you know, Patrick Cantlay not wanting to wear the hat and all this stuff. Oh, like, it's just, you know.
Hatgate was so good.
Yeah. And it's just, you know, at Bethpage Black with those fans, like, it'll be a particularly hard road game, I would imagine, for the Europeans. And like, if you look, I'm trying to figure out what the odds are. Have you looked at what the odds are for?
No, I haven't looked yet. I imagine American be pretty healthy favorites.
Yeah, I'm just quickly pulling it up here. But yeah, like, I can only imagine that you're playing at that spot with those fans, you know, the New York crowd. It's gonna be electric. So I'm just looking at the odds here. and to win it outright is USA is minus 138 right now. Europe's plus 137. The tie clearly at plus 1200. But, you know, the States going into it as big favorites, as you would imagine. And I can tell you who wouldn't want it any other way. The Euros. That's like their dream scenario. They want to be underdogs. That's like the perfect spot for them. So it'll be really fascinating to see once we start getting into these tournaments and the playoffs. And that adds definitely a wrinkle with the points and who's going to get picked, and the whole golf world will be around it. But yeah, it's going to be a hell of a run here to the Ryder Cup at Bethpage.
Yeah, I regret to inform the people at FedEx and the PGA Tour that their playoffs are about to become the Ryder Cup selection show.
Yeah.
Like, that's all. They might as well, honestly, not even put the FedEx Cup. Like, they do a good, they've gotten better at that of, like, late in a tournament. It's like, hey, this guy needs this to move inside the top 60 or whatever it is. But I need to know what guys are doing to get themselves to be automatic qualifiers for these teams. Because that is, I mean, again, like, look at the names. You're going to have Justin Thomas, Colin Morikawa, Ben Griffin, the captain, Keegan Bradley, all in a knife fight with Harris English trying to get in for one of those auto qualifier spots. And your guy like Ben Griffin, like, you feel like you need to get one of those just to have a chance. Because of all the names, and I know it's not a boys club anymore, but maybe it's like, I don't know, the young boys club. Like, that was the old boys club. Maybe Keegan Bradlin's like the middle-aged men club. I don't know.
Wyndham?
It'd be interesting to see. Wyndham. We got to talk about him here. I cannot believe this. I just love that Oakmont is just like putting it out there on Main Street. It's like, yeah, this thug, this criminal came in here and beat our fine rock locker room like a rented mule. I just can't believe it. It's classless. He's gonna have to, like Ben and I were saying, there's like that there's the highway that goes right through the course. At one point he should have to pick up trash there on tournament week. Like tournament week, like not competition day. Thursday, Friday he can compete, but I want Wednesday, instead of him playing in the pro-am, it's like, and on the freeway we have the 87th ranked golfer in the world, Wyndham Clark, picking up garbage as his penance for when he was classless last time he was here. This is just hilarious. I love how much Oakmont is putting him on a blast though.
Yeah, I mean, and then Kiz was upset that it got out. I'm like, give me a break. That's stupid. But he played well. Maybe he's playing himself into the conversation for the Ryder Cup team here. Like, I don't know. You know, he's a guy that has some pedigree. He's a major winner within the last couple of years. Had some, you know, has had some tournament wins. I wouldn't be stunned to see Keegan Bradley looking down the list at Wyndham Clark if he continues his form through the FedEx Cup playoffs.
Well, yeah, and it's like he feels exactly. Well, that's the thing, right? It's like he feels like one of those guys that it's like he is a pick not based on his play, but based on like how well he fits with the guys, right? Like, I think that's part of the Brian Harman school of it all, of like how well do you fit? And I think Wyndham Clark, certainly guys he clicks with, but I didn't notice like a ton of defenders other than Kisner coming to save his bacon during that. So I think maybe that's a little informative. Oh, Kisner. I sent you this clip. It was hilarious. Did you see when the bat got in the booth?
Yes, I did.
That's just very funny. Kevin Kisner, he's like an outdoorsman. He's a hunter. It ain't no hobby. Apparently, shooing bats out of boots is, though, because that was absolutely hilarious. I love that. All right, bud. Anything else from you before we get out of here? Oh, wait. Yeah, a big something
well,
else from you.
I mean, just was going to say, kind of a hot L for Lynx Golf this weekend. No?
Because what did you, what would have, let me reverse engineer this question. What would have made it a hot dub for Lynx Golf? Like,
well,
not
being 28 and sunny for the whole weekend?
Okay, sure. Yeah, if you want more weather, I can hear that. Yeah, you
well,
want
like,
more
if
weather.
If we're going to do the open, like, oh, the ferocious winds of the Ireland. And it's like, oh, 28 and sunny, dart show again. You know, like, that's the problem for me is, like, if you're having these championships, like, if it's not bad weather, it's pitching putt for these guys. You know, it's like hit it down. It's like, he got the bad kick. He got two bad kicks the whole time. Like, I didn't see nearly enough gorse. I didn't see nearly enough bad lies. I didn't see nearly enough bad bunkers. Like, that course doesn't, Royal Portrush has the least amount of bunkers on the Rota, right? I don't know. I didn't think it was the golf course's best showing, is how I would say it.
I thought that
it just seemed very benign. Like, there was that stretch, was it the Friday morning wave? That got soaked, and it was like, oh, the weather is just brutal. And then the seasons. And then, like, for both the big rounds, it was just, like, really easy for everybody, I thought.
Yeah. Okay. That's fair. I will allow that. I just thought you were like, I don't know, I don't like Lynx golf, and I'm like,
no,
I don't. Buddy.
I don't.
Yeah, I know.
I don't. And like, I don't know. It just felt like they didn't do a good enough show. Like NBC maybe didn't do a good enough job showcase. Like I don't know. All the holes. Like it's right on the coast. I don't know. It just didn't feel like there was enough water shots, and like it just didn't set up the way it looked well enough to me on TV. I just.
You need
the shots look exactly the same to me.
Okay, there it is. Okay, we finally got there.
Another
where you
drive,
just scream.
Right down
oh, look, they're all the same
middle.
Hole.
Down the middle into the big bump. Oh, what a hole. Again, the same hole again. 18.
Look,
this one's a little shorter. This one's a little longer for a par five. It's like, oh my God. Enough.
When Fox had the U.S. Open, they had my man Ken Brown doing this thing called, like, brownie points, and he would just stand at different areas, and he would, like, whip, like, basketballs down to, like, show you the
speed. Oh, I remember that.
And it's like, that is the course like that. Needs that. It needs the like pre-shot vignettes out there. It could be my man Johnson Wagner getting Tommy John surgery from throwing 1,000 fastballs or whatever they're gonna, you know, cook up for him to do this week. But yeah, I think that the course like that, it does need the storytelling more in that way. I don't know how much storytelling it needs, but you played a nice golf course, I understand.
Oh, I did play a nice golf course, and what day was that? Wednesday that I played? Yeah, last Wednesday afternoon. I got the tremendous honor to play Hamilton Golf and Country Club, which you and I have played once, but we played it in a media day and we started out of order. And I think we started on like, I want to say like 14, which if you're going to do like a media day scramble, like it's like 13, 14, 15. I like if you're playing a nice course, those could be the worst ones to start on. So starting from the start of the golf course and getting to play Hamilton, got to play with my boy Danny Ree, who's a Golf Digest Raider, and I played with the CFO of Hamilton, Alan Carter, which was just a real, real treat, showing us around the place, telling us about all the different things. One of the hardest walking golf courses on planet Earth. Played it in like a 35-degree, teed off at, I think, 2:30. A lot of sweat involved, but honestly, Gunner, I really wish that we could find a way to have the Canadian Open there more often. I understand with the membership and all the different things that go into having a Canadian Open, but God, what an incredible piece of property. It's an amazing spot. I had an absolute blast. Played pretty well. Shot an 82 from the blues, which are 6,600 yards. I was pretty proud of that. Almost made par on 18 from the fairway bunker. On the short side of the little river thing, ravine there. Hit it on there, hit it up, missed the putt by about an inch. So it was a really, really great experience, and I'm really thankful to be able to play it. It's just a fantastic golf course. My God, what a piece of property. One of the best our country has to offer.
No, that is that's awesome. Yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed my one chance to play it, but yeah, not the same when it's out of order, media day. And I love what all of our friends at Golf Canada say, and you know, I know the people at Hamilton would never put it so adversarially, but... Eat it, Riv. Best bowl on tour. Best amphitheater on tour when the RBC Canadian Open is hosted
totally.
In Hamilton. That it is incredible. The way they can build up the grand, it is truly best of both worlds. Like they can build up the grandstands, they can pack it in there, and then you get the natural, just like people sitting on their butts on the side of the hill. It is as good a place to watch a tournament end. Like you and I, I've been at that one close when it's ended. You and I were there at St. George's when dudes are getting tackled into bunkers. Like we've seen some stuff at the end of a Canadian Open. No setting is better than at Hamilton right there on the 18th.
When you're walking up that fairway, man, it's majestic. Like you're looking up at that clubhouse, and that's just that big old hill. And it's a really, really, really exciting golf course to play. And there's just so many different types of holes. It's an incredible spot. So I would rank that very high in the golf courses I've ever played. Like it's amazing. So thanks to everybody at Hamilton Golf and Country Club. I had an absolute blast, Gunner. Couple rounds at Lakeview.
That's awesome.
Couple rounds at Lakeview this week, and then you know, I'm back to work, so it's a tough life. But I'm still playing golf twice this week, getting ready to rock a little early morning round.
All right, I'm sorry to hear that you had to get back to the salt mines of talking about the Blue Jays, who will never lose a game again.
It's true.
Apparently,
it's true.
Yeah, I know. Poor you.
I just
grinding there. All right, that's Sammy McKee. I'm Guns. We'll be back at some point, for sure, before the Ryder Cup. Yep. Probably when we get some teams, and if something exciting happens between now and then, we'll be back for that too. It's been another edition of the Golf Show with the Golf Guys.